That's where we'll spend the majority of our time this morning. While you're turning to Hebrews 12, I'd like to, again, thank you all for being here. You're an encouragement to me and to my family, and I really do appreciate that. I hope we are an encouragement to you as well. And I want to thank Donnie, even though he's not here, you can tell him I said this. I want to thank him for having enough trust in me and also Kevin this evening to ask us to be able to preach and to break into you the word of life. It is not the easiest thing in the world to do, but certainly I'm very appreciative of this opportunity. Hopefully I say something this morning that might prick your hearts a little bit. It probably won't be anything new that you've never heard before, but hopefully it will be something that will call to remembrance something in your life that perhaps you need to change, or perhaps you need to work upon, or something that you might be able to pass on to your neighbors or your friends or someone in your family so that they might be edified and built up as well. Again, we're in Hebrews chapter 12. A year ago, my wife Tammy and her brother and her sister-in-law and a couple of their friends got into a mud run. And if you don't know what a mud run is an obstacle course of tires, cargo nets, walls to be scaled, many other obstacles set on 5,000 meters of mud, slop, probably other things that don't need to be mentioned, and hilly, wooded terrain. After they were finished with their mud run, they came back cleaned up, and we all sat down and watched some of the videos and looked at some of the photos that were taken from the day's events. I did not participate, but I got to see just how much fun. I mean, there was a water slide they got to go down. There was tires that they got to crawl through. Just fun obstacles that looked just like a whole lot of fun. It just looked like you think about like a playground when you were a kid. And just how much fun that was to play on that playground. That's what this looked like. Except it was full of mud, too. I mean, how much more fun can it get? An obstacle course, and you get to slop around in mud. So I thought, I'm doing that. Next year, I'm doing that. So over the past year, I have somewhat inconsistently, but that's not the point, trained to try to get up my stamina a bit so that I could participate in this year's mud runs. And it was fun, except for the fact that I forgot one little detail about the 5K mud run, and that is the 5K part of the 5K mud run. You see, that's 5,000 meters, and I thought, 5,000 meters, I mean, that can't be too bad. Well, if you don't know your metric system, that's 3.11 miles. And I thought, 3 miles, I mean, I drive that on the interstate. It's like 2.5, 3 minutes that it takes to go up. I mean, that should take no time. After it was over, and I was still seeing spots, I began to realize that perhaps I should have trained a little harder. Perhaps I should have built up a little more endurance. And, you know, as I've run more, I've run a couple of those, and also even just yesterday, I ran just a straight 5K run, so without the obstacles, which is even worse if you can imagine, because now you don't have any obstacles that you have to stop and wait on. You actually have to just keep running. And so by the end of that yesterday, I was just about done. It's actually somewhat, I'm not going to call it a miracle, but it's pretty close to it that I could even walk up these steps and be able to stand before you today, because I was spent, completely spent. Just like endurance is very important in a race of any length, we are running a race today, and we will continue to run that race until our life is over. And as I said, just as with any race, there is a need for endurance. This race of life calls for endurance. And so when you look in Hebrews chapter 12, you see the writer of Hebrews emphasizing this point. Verse 1 of Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to focus on that that phrase at the end of verse 1, let us run with endurance. I'd like to talk to you today about the fact that there is a need for endurance. I'd like to show us the benefits of having endurance in this race of life. And then I'd also like to talk about how you can gain this endurance, because it is not an overnight process. Just as running a race, you don't gain endurance after one day of training. Unfortunately, I know that from firsthand experience. It takes building up over time. And so we're going to talk about ways that we can gain that endurance. First of all, let's talk about the need for endurance. Let's be honest. Life is hard. And I don't say that lightly. Even though we live in pretty comfortable settings and in a pretty comfort-driven society, life is hard. If you just think about the people that are in this congregation, there's sickness. There's people who are dealing with the loss of their loved ones through death. There's all manner of disease. There might even be family turmoil. There might be financial difficulties. People that are struggling just to make ends meet and not quite sure how they're going to make it to the end of the month or make it to the next paycheck. There's temptations everywhere. Everywhere you turn, there is some sort of sin that is trying to entice you to participate in it. On top of all that, there's persecution. There's persecution of enduring just being a Christian and the types of persecutions that we might endure because of that. Life is hard. But here's the sad part. As hard as we think life is, can you imagine how hard it must be in a third world country? In a country where they really don't know where their next meal is going to come from or when it's going to come. Forget the financial difficulties. There's no difficulty if there are no finances. I mean, there's nothing. They are completely dependent upon God to take care of them. Places where sickness and death are just commonplace. And can you imagine, as difficult as it is in those third world countries, can you imagine how difficult it must have been back in biblical times? We think life's hard. We don't know what hard is. But Jesus knew what hard is. Jesus understood exactly how difficult life can be. Because you see, Jesus went through just about all those things. We won't take time to reference them. But certainly Jesus was born into this world and he knew that he was going to die, and not an easy death. Can you imagine knowing that you were going to be crucified on the cross and yet willingly going toward that death? That's hard. Can you imagine the family strife that he must have felt when it was realized that he was indeed a prophet, when it was realized that he was the Son of God, and his own family members wouldn't accept him? Can you imagine the difficulty that Jesus must have had with that? Can you imagine the persecution that he went through? Even before he was crucified, imagine the persecution that he endured. Multiple times he was taken and was ready to be stoned, but his hour had not come, and so he passed through their midst. Multiple times he was derided. Can you imagine the financial difficulties that he must have had, not knowing where he was going to lay his head that night? Certainly this was not a rich man. He was a carpenter by trade, but once he began his ministry, he never, that we have record of, really accepted financial assistance other than perhaps partaking in a meal or staying at someone's house. We don't know what hard is. That's a hard life. But yet Jesus endured through all those things, didn't he? And how did he do it? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But first of all, again, I want to establish the need that if we don't have endurance for our life, and as difficult as we think life is, we don't have a chance. If you flip over to Matthew chapter 13, again, keep your finger in Hebrews. We'll come back to that multiple times. But if you flip over to Matthew chapter 13, we read about the parable of the sower. And in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 21, starting in verse 18, again it says, "Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. And what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away." We can't imagine the persecution that Jesus must have gone through even before he got to his death. Would we be able to endure that? That life, those 3 years especially of his ministry, of persecutions, tribulations, knowing what was coming in his own life, also knowing what was coming in his apostles, in his very friends' lives. Could we have endured that? Jesus says, if we don't have endurance, we're going to wither in the sun. We're not going to make it. We've got to have endurance. Because even though life is mentioned in the Bible as being just as a vapor and very short, a simple fact is, when we're in the middle of it, it's long. It is a long life, it feels like at times. And the more difficult it is, many times, the longer it feels. It feels like it will never end sometimes. Sometimes people wish for death so that they can be released from the difficulties that they have. We need endurance. Why? I mean, yes, endurance is something that can just get us through the day. It is something that can get us through the valleys, the low parts in our lives. Yes, endurance certainly has that as its benefit. But let's talk about some other benefits. Now that we've established the need for endurance, let's talk about why. Beyond just getting us through, if you flip back to Hebrews chapter 12, we see a couple more reasons of why endurance can be a good thing. If we read on down, starting in verse 3, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, the writer says, "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives." Verse 7 is what I want to focus on first. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. We'll read on down a little more in a second. But the first thing I want us to notice is endurance gives us discipline. More than just getting through day-to-day trials, tribulations, difficulties, the discipline that we receive from endurance can help us get through future things. You see, if you have discipline in your life, the valleys don't seem quite so low the next time around. If you think about Joseph back in the Old Testament, all the difficulties that he endured, he learned to discipline himself as a result of that. And as a result, we see that things weren't so difficult for him as they might have been had he not had endurance. That endurance built discipline in his life. If you look on down, verse 9 says, "Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness." Verse 11, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The writer here says, you need endurance. Why do you need endurance? Because that will give you discipline. And the discipline, as you're being disciplined and being trained, it is difficult for a time. But look what he says in verse 11. He says, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's a benefit of endurance. But what does that mean? What does it mean to yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it? Well, first of all, we have righteousness there. When we learn to endure through difficulties and through trials and through just the problems that we face in life, if we handle those properly, we just learn through God's Word to be more righteous. And as we learn to be more righteous, again, that discipline will help get us through future difficulties. But I want to focus more on the fact that it's the peaceful fruit of righteousness. It seems very, very ironic that the discipline that we endure, face, the endurance that we get from going through all these trials should give us peace. I mean, after all, the very problems that we face cause that stress and that chaos in our lives and that difficulty. So how do we get peace from it? Well, I would submit to you that it comes from that righteousness. Once we learn to do right and to do right for the right reasons and to do right in the right way so that we please God, there's a peace that comes over us because we know we're doing right. And so from endurance and from this discipline, we get this peaceful fruit of righteousness, verse 11. So that's another benefit of endurance. Another benefit of endurance is found in Romans chapter 5. Flip back to Romans chapter 5. Back in Romans chapter 5, we see Paul is writing here. And if we start in verse 1, we see Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This suffering that we have produces endurance. And that endurance produces character, another benefit. And in fact, going further, that character, Paul says, that character produces hope. How is that? Well, we gain hope from our character because if we are doing things that we should be doing, if we are bearing up under the difficulties of life, that endurance produces that character. It builds our character. And once it builds that character, we have hope. Hope in what? We have hope in the afterlife. We have hope of heaven. And so that endurance produces that hope. If you think about it, the people who have no hope, they have not learned to endure. And they don't realize that there is a goal ahead of them. They've taken their eye off the goal, or perhaps they didn't even know there was a goal. They don't have that endurance, and thus, they don't have that hope. Also, if you flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, another benefit of endurance. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul here is writing to Timothy, trying to encourage him. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and starting in verse 10, he says, Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Another benefit of endurance is we will reign with Christ. Again, that is the hope that is produced in us. The hope that we will, in fact, reign with Christ at the end of time. And lastly, again, tying into that, if you flip back over to Hebrews, but flip back to a couple of chapters, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, the writer says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." Again, tying into all that, the hope that is built up in us from our character being strengthened, from the endurance that we show, we will have that hope, we will reign with Christ, and we will receive what is promised, that being heaven. Now, this is nothing new to you. As I told you, probably nothing I say to you today will be new to you, but we need to be reminded, especially those of us who are struggling with health issues or who have family members who are struggling with health issues, to have any kind of difficulties in our lives, we have need of endurance. Why? Because if we have endurance, it will build up in us discipline. It will give us the peaceful fruit of righteousness. There's that peace that's involved there. It will produce character within us that we would not have otherwise have had an opportunity to develop. That also gives us hope, the hope of reigning with Christ and receiving the promise that we have waiting us in heaven. Now, how do we get this endurance? As we said, it's not an overnight process, but we've seen the need for endurance, and we've seen how the benefits of endurance. So now let's talk about, finally, how to gain this endurance. And I would submit to you that much of this is found in Hebrews chapter 12. The first thing, if we go back, looking at verse 1 again, says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." If you look at that, the first thing that the writer of Hebrews mentions here is the fact that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, what's he talking about there? Well, the great cloud of witnesses that he's mentioning here is actually found back in Hebrews chapter 11. And if you remember, Hebrews chapter 11 talks about all those characters from the Bible who exhibited great faith. And we won't take the time to list them all, but just a couple of them, you know, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, all those who have shown that great faith before us. They are the great cloud of witnesses. It's as if, the writer here is painting a picture, we are running a race, and it is as if the spectators are watching us, and in that crowd of spectators are people like Moses and Noah, and they are watching us and cheering us on. And they are hoping that we will run the race with the success with which they ran the race. And that's encouraging. That should be encouraging to us. So the first thing that we need to gain more experience is to get encouragement from our supporters. Now, in some way, our supporters are just as was mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 12, those men and women of faith who came before us. They are our supporters. If you look in Romans chapter 15, again, hold your finger in Hebrews 12, but Romans chapter 15, and looking in verse 4, Romans 15, verse 4, Paul there writes, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." The Old Testament, the New Testament also, all those men and women that we have record of, they are to encourage us, we are told, to give us an example and to instruct us in how we should live our lives. And so we have that encouragement from those, that great cloud of witnesses, so to speak. But we also have supporters right here in our very midst. You all, if I had time, I would go through and name you all by name, because every one of you has been an encouragement to me and my family since we have been here at El Bethel, and we love every one of you to death. And we really appreciate the good examples that we have here, you know, every week. And we hope that we can be a good example to you as well and encourage you, because that is the reason why we are brought together. And I hope we get that the church, the whole purpose for God bringing the church into existence was so that we could build each other up, because we can't do it alone. It is a hard life. And if we don't have the encouragement and the edification of each other, it's going to be nearly impossible for us to have that endurance to be able to make it. And so we need to be building each other up. Just like we should be cheering each other on in a race. As you go through a race, you've got the sidelines, you know, the spectators are cheering you on. But you also, in a race, a lot of times you'll have the runners encouraging each other on. And that is exactly how we should be. We are all running a race together. We should be encouraging each other. If you flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul admonishes them to do just this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul there writes, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord." Verse 18. "Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Brothers and sisters, one of the failings I think that we do have as Christians many times is that we forget to encourage each other, look toward the goal. I mean, that's exactly what Paul did there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He's encouraging them to think about the end. Think about being called home to heaven. And we don't talk about that enough, generally speaking. I know I personally don't talk to others of you enough about getting to heaven and how awesome it's going to be and how excited we should be and how we should just buck up under the hope, under the difficulties that we have here, for the hope that we have within us. I don't talk about that with you enough. We need to do better on that. Another thing that's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 12 is that in verse 2, we should look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. I will tell you, if you ever watch a race, especially in a car race or even a foot race, especially if it's an obstacle course too, you will see many people taking the same path. And the reason is because they see the guy in front of them making the decisions on which way to go and what's the best plan of attack to get through. And they will follow after him because they know that's the easiest route. In the same way, we should follow in the footsteps of the great one, Jesus, who's gone through everything that we think that we could possibly go through and all those difficulties. Any difficulties that we've gone through, we have record that Jesus went through much, much, much more difficult times than we will ever go through, most likely. So why would we not look to Jesus to see how to get through our own difficulties that really pale in comparison, truth be told? We should follow in the footsteps of Jesus. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, you probably know this well. Paul there says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." And the fact is that Jesus has shown us the way to escape many of the difficulties that we would have in life. And so all we need to do is look to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. We see the difficulties that he went through and how he escaped from them. And we can do that as well. We can find that way of escape. We can avoid the pitfalls. We can learn the best way to traverse the obstacles that show up in our lives. Again, all the difficulties that we think we've seen and that we've endured, Jesus has overcome so much more than that. So why would we not look to him? Next, mentioned somewhat before, but worth mentioning again, is keeping our eye on the goal. How do we gain endurance? Well, one other way is to keep our eye on the goal. I can tell you, and in fact, yesterday it was a case in point of how not to do things. Yesterday I was running, and I thought I was on the home stretch, and we turned the corner, and all we had to do was get to the top of the hill, and I thought, once I get to the top of the hill, I'm there. So I take off in a dead sprint. I mean, as hard as I can go. And I'm running up and expecting as soon as I get to the top of the hill, all I've got to do is make one little turn and there's the finish line. And I get to the top of the hill. No. I had misunderstood the route. And there was a whole rest of the street and another turn on the street and then a turn back. And so I still had probably about a quarter of a mile to go. And I was spent. I was done. And the difficulty was I didn't know exactly where the goal was. I didn't keep my eye on the goal and know exactly how much I still needed to keep in reserves in order to make it there without blacking out. But in the same way, we need to keep our eye on the goal. Because if we keep our eye on the goal, one, it helps us pace ourselves because life is long at times and can be difficult. And we need to make sure that we don't burn ourselves out. But also, keeping our eye on the goal keeps us focused and can actually give us more energy and encourage us along the way. Because if you don't know how much further you have to go, if you don't know what's waiting for you at the end or what the reward's going to be, you start to question, is this even worth it? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11 and starting in verse 24, we see the case of Moses. And Moses kept his eye on the goal. Look with me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. "By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." He kept his eye on the goal. He understood the reward that was waiting on him. It encouraged him. It helped him to make good decisions and not decisions just based on emotions or feelings. Moses kept his eye on the goal, and we should as well. And again, some of that goes back to us bringing it up to each other, talking about how great heaven is going to be and how beautiful it must be and all the things that go along with being in heaven. Bringing that up to each other helps us keep our eyes on the goal. That is a way to gain endurance. The last thing I'd like to mention to you is, you know, how do we gain this endurance? How do we end up so that we can run with endurance, as verse of chapter 12, verse 1 says? I'd submit to you that the last thing is, you got to run. you are not going to gain endurance. And again, I speak from experience. You will not gain endurance in running a race by walking the course. It's as simple as that. Because I thought, man, I can walk all day long. I mean, you know, I can run a little while and then walk. I mean, I feel great. But the simple fact is, when you're in a race, you're expected to run it. And if you don't run it, you're never, and if you don't practice that, then you're never going to build up that endurance. We got to run. What does that mean? That means we have to put forth as much effort as we possibly can. We have to be diligent to do everything we can do so that at the end of our lives, it should be just like the end of a race where you've seen the finish line and you are just going as hard as you can so that when you hit that finish line, you are almost dead. I mean, you are just wiped out. We should be the exact same way with our lives. At the end of our lives, if we have a chance to reflect before our passing, we should be able to say to ourselves, just as Paul did, talking about he's run the race, he's finished the course, he's done everything he could possibly do, we need to be that same way as well. We got to run. Again, we've talked about the need for endurance because life is hard. And if we don't have endurance, we're not going to make it. We've talked about the benefits of endurance. Beyond just being able to get through the day-to-day things and being able to get through life, the endurance actually helps us get through it even better because we have the discipline, we have peace, we have our character built, we have hope of that goal that's waiting for us. And we've talked about how to gain that endurance, to be able to get that support, that encouragement from our supporters, whether it be looking to the Scriptures or looking to each other. We've talked about gaining endurance from following in the footsteps of Jesus so that we can see just how to run this race we call life. And also keeping our eyes on the goal and just getting after it, running as hard as we can, doing whatever we can to make sure that we win the race. Would you join us in that race this morning? Perhaps you've not been baptized. You've not named Christ as your Savior and put Him on in baptism. You're really not even in the race right now. Yeah, you're living, but you're really not running the race that's talked about there in Hebrews chapter 12. If you've not made that decision, you have no hope. You have no need for endurance because you have no hope. You haven't even started the race yet. Won't you start the race? Won't you be baptized? Perhaps some of you have started, but you have need of endurance as well, just as the writer said in chapter 10 and verse 36. We all have need of endurance, but some of us need it more than others right now because perhaps we're weak in the faith. Would you make the decision to come back, to get back on the path and start running and just get after it? To do what you need to do to secure your place in heaven. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, please come as we stand and sing.